We started last week. The topic or the idea that Paul wrote in verse number 15, when it pleased God, it pleased God. And we talked a little bit about, of course, just by way of review and reminder, the fact that the whole purpose behind the book of Galatians was to correct a major error in their message of salvation, the fact that they were adding things to salvation, adding works to salvation, and in the obedience of the law and keeping the law, particularly in the area of circumcision. And Paul was addressing that issue there and correcting it. And we see, we'll look at it as we go along, but we see in chapter number 2, Peter was caught up with the whole thing. Paul had to confront him personally and do some things there. But it pleased God, this idea of it pleased God. And notice in verse number 15 again, look in Galatians 1, verse 15, the Bible says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But of the other of the apostles saw I none save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me." And we talked a little bit about Paul's conversation, his life before salvation. Remember, giving the gospel can be simplified to simply giving your testimony. And of course, we know that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But when you witness, you say, "Well, I'm not really sure what to say and how to do all of that." Well, just tell someone how you got saved. And give your testimony. So what is your testimony? Your testimony is what your life was like without Christ or before you trusted Christ, what happened when you trusted Christ, and then what your life has been like since you've trusted Christ. So kind of a before, point of decision, and an after. And of course, I was saved when I was 5 years old. I don't really have much of a testimony before I was saved. There's really not, I wasn't a wicked, evil, you know, involved in all kinds of terrible things. But I know and I remember the time and the point in time where I made a decision to consciously trust Christ as my Savior. And I know what my life has been like since then. And I know that the Holy Spirit witnesses within me. And, you know, a lot of people can say, "Well, I know it was such and such a date. I know such and such a location. I know, you know, date, time, hour, those types of things." I can't tell you a lot of those details. I know I was 5 years old. I know I was laying in bed. It was at night. I was scared. My dad came in. And I don't remember much, to be honest with you. But I do know this. I have the Holy Spirit within me. The Bible says in 1 John that he witnesses within us, and that we are the children of God. And so understanding that, we can simply just give someone our testimony in order to be able to share the gospel with those people. And we find Paul doing that. We're not going to belabor and go look at all of that again, but in Acts chapter number 9, we find that. Acts chapter 22, I think it is, in Acts chapter 26, he talks about his testimony. He gives it in Acts 9, or Luke actually records it in Acts 9, and then he gives it in chapter 22 and 26 of the book of Acts also certain times there. Then we talked about his conversation, his life before Christ, his conversion when he trusted Christ. And then we started to talk about his contribution, what it was that he was doing for the cause of Christ now. And look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're in Galatians. Look back a couple pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse number 8. He says, "And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Of course, we talked about the fact that he persecuted. As a matter of fact, he said, "I persecuted it more abundantly and profited more abundantly in the Jews' religion than a lot of people that were my equals." He goes on to say there in verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Now, You've probably heard people use this expression just to simply excuse the fact that, well, I just am what I am. It's just the way I am. No. Paul is saying, I am what I am. I am a child of God. And because of that, notice what he says, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. And then notice what he says here. I labored more abundantly than they all. Well, that's interesting. Keep your finger here. Go back to Galatians again. And look what he says there in Galatians 1. This kind of caught my attention. Again, we mentioned it last week a little bit. But look at verse number 13 of Galatians 1. He said, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure, can we say more abundantly? Okay. We could use that term there too. Okay. So beyond measure, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Notice the next verse. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So he was more abundant in persecution. He persecuted more abundantly than the average Jewish leader at the time, the Jewish religious person. He profited more abundantly than the average Jewish leader at the time. He was zealous more abundantly than the average Jewish person at the time, Jewish religious leader at the time. But then, go back to 1 Corinthians 15, we find after his conversion, he said, I labored more abundantly. Somebody said this years ago, a church I pastored in South Carolina, there was a man there, he said, you know what? He said, I have tried, and I don't know if he's successful or not, but he said, I have tried to live as much for God as I did for the devil before I was saved, you know? And Paul, I think, is that's what he's saying here. He said, "I there was abundance before I trusted Christ. I persecuted, I profited, I was zealous, but for the wrong things. And now that I'm saved," notice again in verse number 10, he says, and his grace, 1 Corinthians 15:10, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Who's they all? He's referring back to verse number 9 there of the apostles, all of the apostles. You see, Jesus Christ came to them and called them out of their Jewry, if you will, and called them out of their religious rut that they were in, and they followed him physically in a way that Paul never had a chance to. But Jesus Christ called Paul no less than what he did with the other disciples and other apostles. He appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And Paul said, I'm trying to make up for lost time, you know. Boy, I was a persecutor. I was injurious. I did everything I could to destroy the church of God. But I was saved. Jesus Christ appeared to me. And I want to make sure that the grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. So I gave it everything I have. And I have labored more abundantly than all of the rest of the apostles. Look again at verse number 10 there. He says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You see what he's doing here? He's saying, look, don't look at me as something special. Although I've put forth the effort, I've done everything I could to live for the Lord and please him and labor more abundantly, but it wasn't really me, it was God in me. It was the grace of God that allowed me to accomplish that. And look, you've heard the statement, but for the grace of God, right? Look, but for the grace of God, who knows where any of us would be? But because God's grace was bestowed upon us, look, we don't live for the Lord in order to. We live for the Lord because of. We don't live for the Lord in order to please God, in order to trust, in order to be saved, in order to gain favor. No, we live for God and please him and labor because of what he's done for us. It's a response, if you will, you see. And so why does a believer, we talk about holiness, we talk about living a holy life and a separated life and all those types of things in the scriptures, why do we talk about those things? Is it to gain more favor with God? No. Is it to have a greater degree of salvation? No. It's because of what Christ has done for me. It's because of what Christ has done for us. It ought to be a natural, I say natural, maybe that's not the right word. It ought to be an outflow, I guess. It ought to be an outflow of the fact that the Holy Spirit lives within us. And Christ suffered and shed his blood on a cross so that we could have salvation. And as a result of that, we're pleased and honored to give our lives back to him. Why? Because he gave his life for us. What does the Bible say in 1 John? We love him. Why? Because he first loved us, you see. And if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Yeah, you see. So it all works together. So keep reading there in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse number 11. He says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. And so he kind of, it's almost like he's putting himself out there and kind of bragging a little bit. But then I don't know if he realized what he was doing, or maybe God kind of, I understand this is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and God was telling him what to write here. But he kind of backs off of that and he says, look, it wasn't me. It was God's grace in me. And he says, oh, and by the way, even if it was me or them, it doesn't matter because we're all preaching the same thing. We're all believing the same thing. He says that whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now go to the end of chapter 15 and look what he says there. In verse number 58, last verse of the chapter. Familiar verse to most, if not all of us. Therefore, so because of all these things that I've said before, okay, therefore be ye steadfast, unmovable, always, and notice the next word. What is it? Abounding in the work of the Lord. Remember what Paul said? He said, I persecuted more abundantly. I was zealous more abundantly. I was abounding in persecution. I was abounding in zealousness. I guess that's the right word. I was abounding in profiting in the Jews' religion. But I want you to understand, it's not about that. It's abounding in the work of the Lord that matters. You see? And see, so he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So he says, look, I labored more abundantly, but I want you to know your labor is not in vain. I'm laboring, you're laboring, and he says in 1 Corinthians 12, I believe it is, or wherever it is, he says, we're laborers together with God. So it's interesting, he doesn't say we're laboring for God. That's very important. Yes, we work for God, and yes, we serve God, but look, it's us working alongside God in what God is already doing in the world. And us coming alongside him and accomplishing his purpose and his will. So go back to Galatians 1 real quick. And notice again, bring it back to what we're talking about here. He says, but when it pleased God. So we've talked about his conversation in the past, his persecution of the church, his conversion on the road to Damascus there when Christ appeared to him. We talked about his contribution and what the whole purpose of it is, what the whole purpose of our life as a believer and as a Christian is. But then notice his contention. Look over at Jude chapter number 3. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. He says in verse number 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Watch what he says here. I have fought a good fight. Now that could be taken two ways. Either he fought good or the fight was good. You understand? Either he fought well or the fight that he was in was a good fight. Can I say it was probably both? Maybe he didn't necessarily mean it that he fought well, but I can certainly tell you this, the fight that he was in is a good fight. Fight the good fight of faith, right? Fight the good fight of faith. So he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Go over to Jude. Look what Jude says about this in Jude verse number 3. Jude verse number 3. Jude verse 3 says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Look, these descriptive adjective words are very important. Earnestly contend for the faith. Not just... We're not just in it just to fight, right? There's too much of that going on. And I've heard a lot recently, you know, there are too many people online. There are too many people doing podcasts. There are too many people doing YouTube videos. There are too many people doing things critical and fighting against things that they just got. It just doesn't matter. And understand, the thing that we're supposed to fight for, the thing that we're supposed to contend for is the faith, not our personal ideas about things, not our personal opinions or preferences about things. And Paul or Judas is saying here, look, that we should earnestly contend for the faith. What faith was that? Which was once delivered unto the saints. Again, there's a dual meaning here. It's the faith that was delivered once and for all. And it doesn't need to be delivered again. Jesus gave it. That's what the Apostle Paul is contending about and fighting about in Galatians 1. He said, I marvel that you've so soon removed from the grace that you've been called into. That original faith that was once delivered. It was once delivered. It doesn't need to be changed. It doesn't need to be adjusted. That's all there is to it. And Jude is saying the same thing here. Once delivered unto the saints. Or may I say, it was once delivered unto the saints. And it only has to be done once. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't happen again. And Dr. Clarence Sexton used to say this, every generation must contend for the faith. So the next generation that comes along is going to have to contend for the same faith. But look, if we don't pass that faith down to them, how are they going to know what they're contending for? You see? So Paul had a contention. Go back to Galatians again now. Go look at back at Galatians 1. Look what he says here. Galatians 1 and verse number, let's see here. Look at verse number 23. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. And then go over to, let's see here. Go to verse or chapter 2 and look at look at verse number 11. Chapter 2, verse number 11. But when Peter was coming to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Look at verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all. What's he doing? He's contending. He's contending. Why? Because it pleased God to accomplish something in his life. What was it, with all of that being said, what was it that it pleased God to accomplish? Look at it in Galatians 1 and verse number 15. He says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. First of all, it pleased God to separate him from his mother's womb. You know anybody else like that? Remember Gideon? Remember the account of Gideon's birth? His parents were out and the angel appeared in the sacrificial in the smoke of the sacrifice there and told Manoah, his father, that he was going to have a son, and he ran to get his wife, and he said, don't go anywhere, I need to go get my wife, and you need to come and tell her. And they came back, and of course, the Midianites were kind of in charge at the time, and they were kind of afraid to let anybody know what was going on, and we're not going to get into all the story of Gideon, but Gideon, his birth was foretold by an angel. I would say he was separated from his mother's womb. Remember Samuel? Hannah? Remember Hannah praying in the temple? She said, God, if you give me a child, I'll do what? Give him back to you, right? And he was separated. I think of Jeremiah, I think it is there in Jeremiah chapter number 1. The Bible says that he was called and separated from his mother's womb. So what Paul is saying here, he's saying, look, it pleased God to set me apart for something special. May I say this? Every person who is a child of God has a special calling on their life from God, has a purpose. They've been separated from their mother's womb to accomplish something for God. You say, what is it? Ask God. I don't know. You find out. What is it that God has called you to do? What is it that God has separated you for? What purpose are you alive for? Why are you on earth at this time? Remember Esther? The statement was made by Mordecai. He said, look, God has put you here, and the little phrase, for such a time as this, right? But then he followed up by saying, but if you don't go do it, God will raise somebody else up. And deliverance will come. Deliverance is still going to come because it's what God desires. It's just not going to be through you. Look, I don't know about you, but I want to be in on what God is doing in the world. I want to be in on what God is trying to accomplish in the world. And I believe God separates us for a purpose to accomplish something in his life, in our lives. And Paul is saying, look, I understood, even despite all the persecution, all the profiting, all the other things that we've talked about, I realized and understood that God separated me from my mother's womb to accomplish something for his purpose. And may I say this? Whatever that is, it's great. It's not like we can say, well, Paul was separated for something great. Why? Because all of us are separated for something great if it's in the purpose of God. If it's what God has separated us for, then it's great. You know, if we're not careful, we'll think to ourselves, well, they did great things, or God used them in a great way. Well, how do you define that? Who gets to define that, you know? Who gets to determine that some people are used in a great way and other people are not used in a great way? May I say this? Whoever God uses and whoever is willing to be used by God is used in a great way, no matter what they're doing. And so we understand and we realize, look, it pleased God to separate you. You say, for what? Notice what else he says there. It pleased God who separated from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. It pleased God to call me. Not just separate me, but to call me. Now, when somebody calls you, you have a choice. Right? And in today's world, we look at it, and we have a choice, right? Or, hello. You see, just because God calls doesn't mean you're going to answer. You got to pick up the phone. You got to answer it. It used to be, remember when the phones used to hang on the wall and had cords on them? And if you still remember where you had multiple people on the same line, party lines? Anybody remember? I'm a little too young for that, but I've heard about it. But you got the party lines, you pick it up, and somebody else is already on there, you know, that type of thing. But I do remember I even remember the rotary phones, you know, it's like, you know, back and forth and all of that. And, you know, it's funny because they've done a little experiment with young children. They say, pretend you're picking up a phone. And you can tell a person's age whether or not they do this or whether or not they do this, you know. But anyway, I digress. But what are we talking about here? God said, look, I'm calling you, Paul. I'm calling you for something. Answer the phone. Answer it. And May I be the first to admit there have been many times in my life where God has called me to something. And I'm not talking about some overarching life purpose, but some specific event or some specific circumstance that has come up and God prompts me. The Holy Spirit says, hey, do this or do that. And I just don't. Don't answer the phone. I just don't do it. I walk away and the Holy Spirit says, why not? Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you give that gospel? Why didn't you give that word of encouragement? Why didn't you text that person or call that person? I prompted you. Why didn't you pray for that missionary when you were thinking about them? Why didn't you? I put them on your mind for a reason. You see, but God calls. It's very interesting there, the wording. It pleased God. These things are pleasing to the Lord. It's pleasing to God to separate us for a purpose. It's pleasing to God to call us for what we're to accomplish. And notice what else he says there. It pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, watch this, to reveal his son in me. But for what purpose? You know, the word that is a very important word. It gives you a reason. It gives you the purpose behind it. Okay, so whenever you read the scriptures, you see the word that, it usually is because there's something to follow. So he says, to reveal his son in me, why? For what purpose? That I might preach him among the heathen. You see, what happened here? It pleased God to reveal Christ to the Apostle Paul in him. Why? So that he might reveal Christ to others. So that he might preach to the heathen. So that he might give what he received to somebody else. I use a little phrase, not just in, but through. You see, in, God do a work in me, but do a work through me. God, save me, salvation in me, but also salvation through me. Not in the sense that people are saved by me, of course, but the fact that I have a salvation message that I've received for myself and I need to give it to others also, you see. And so Paul understood that it was, and look, it pleases God for that to be orchestrated that way. To reveal his son in me, why? That I might preach him among the heathen. And then notice what he says, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't walk around saying, hey, who should I go tell? No. You know what that means? The next person you see, tell them. Look, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. We're all guilty, right? We're going to walk out these doors tonight, and we're going to come in across a circumstance. There's going to be somebody in front of us, somebody perhaps that we don't know, somebody perhaps that God puts there, a divine appointment. We didn't do anything to orchestrate the encounter, but God and his providence. Think about all of these circumstances that have to line up from eternity, from creation until now, for God to cause your path and someone that needs Christ to cross. Think about that for a second. And God orchestrates all of that, and what do? We walk on by, more often than not, right? But it pleased God to reveal his son in us, to help us to understand our need for Christ. Why? So we can help others understand their need for Christ. It must be done. And look, I want you to understand, it's as I'm saying that, I'm thinking to myself, You fool, you don't even do it yourself oftentimes. It's just something that we don't do very often. And we need to, we ought to. The Holy Spirit helps us with those things. He convicts us of it, and he helps us with it also. And so we find all these things taking place here. And the fact that it was pleasing to God. So look at it again in verse number 13. Galatians 1:13, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. And I went and did it. I went and did it. And some say outside of Christ, the Apostle Paul perhaps was the greatest soul winner, the greatest witness for Christ. Soul winner is kind of a misnomer, but the greatest witness for Christ in the history of the world. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, seems like it could be pretty accurate. But what was the whole thing there? He understood that his life was designed by God because it pleased God to orchestrate it that way. This isn't an accident. It's not an accident that you found Christ. It's not an accident that you became a child of God. It's not an accident that God separated you and called you and revealed his son in you. It's all on purpose so that more people can know who Christ is. And that pleases God. You want to be pleasing to God? Follow through with what he's designed for your life. Father, help us with this truth. I thank you for the example we have, the Apostle Paul, the things that you allowed him to go through and experience so that we could learn and be exhorted. I ask you to help us to understand what truly pleases you. And I pray that you'd help us to be faithful in executing the purpose and plan that you have for our lives to accomplish your will. Take us home safely, and God, help us to recognize in the coming days the opportunities that you give us to give the gospel, to be a witness, to be an encouragement, a testimony. And I pray that you'd take away the fear, take away the trepidation, take away the anxiety, take away the embarrassment, take away the hesitation, Lord. Help us to be bold in our witness for you and kind about telling people about Christ and their need for a Savior, but bold in what people need. Father, we thank you for your word, how it helps us. In Jesus' name, amen.